Hello, and welcome to Fireborn Inspirations Fireside Chats, hosted by the Reverend Jane Babbage, where we share valuable information, revelation, inspiration, and educational words of wisdom designed to help you get a greater understanding of today's challenges and opportunities so that you can choose to embrace the realities of tomorrow and press through the fires of life with purpose. Now here's your host, the Reverend Jane Babbage.
Greetings and welcome to Fireside Chat. This is Reverend Jane Babbage and I'm your host today. And we have Dr. Audrey Akins back with us to continue in our discussion about her study of deny, deny, deny. Welcome.
I'm blessed to be here.
Well, I am glad you're blessed because this teaching is really making me rethink that my feeling and my emotion about the word deny. Because in the beginning, as I had said, it was a word that made me want to go, I don't need that teaching or want that teaching. But it is really, really an important concept for us believers.
Yes.
So today we're going to talk about the latest teaching that you did on deny, 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 which is decisive dedication. And what I really want to key into are a couple points, Dr. Akins. And the first is, you went to the New Testament, which is important because as a believer, we can kind of fashion ourselves after the New Testament. But as you also teach, what's in the old is revealed in the new. So when you talk about Mary and Joseph and Jesus going to the temple, and you illustrate that they go there not really expecting to meet anybody.
Right.
But they find two characters of the Bible, Simeon and Anna. Now, what I'd like you to give us a little feeling on, just from you as the depth of the scripture, is what do you feel that Mary and Joseph were going to the temple expecting?
They really went to fulfill spiritual protocol. They went to take the child Jesus and dedicate him in the temple unto the Lord as their firstborn child, right? And so they expected to see a priest there and to have the priest dedicate the child, but they had no expectation that God had already strategically placed two characters there that were to intercept them. They had a spiritual encounter that God had strategically positioned to happen before they could go in and be overcome by traditions of men. So even though those traditions were there and part of what you do in the temple did not mean that that was what God had for Jesus to dedicate him.
I find it real interesting that if you look at the way we live today, and when we know we're to do something that God has said to do, however we get that message from the Lord and we're going to do it, we kind of have a mindset that says, okay, I'm going to go there and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. But what I love about it is even when we're like that, and I'm sure Mary and Joseph were like that, even though you know you're doing what God told you to do, there's kind of like an apprehension or, okay, what am I going to encounter? But he so loved them and so honored their dedication to do what they were told to do that he put in their path these confirmations with Simeon and Anna. And I just feel like after that happened to them, they had peace because God had put those intentional encounters there to show them you're in the right place at the right time. Take my peace and do it.
Well, it all began when Mary received the word in the first place that she was going to have this child that would be called Jesus, that would become her baby and eventually be her God who would bring her into salvation and bring salvation to many men. Okay, that was a mind blower in and of itself, seeing as how she was a virgin, right? But what really set this thing for her and enabled her to make a decisive dedication was she said, I don't know how in the world you're going to do this, seeing as how I know no man. I am a virgin. But Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I don't know the wherewithal or how you're going to do it, But I trust your word, and I've seen your word come to pass. I've heard how your word comes to pass. So be it unto me according to your word. That when she came into agreement with God's word, that set her peace in place. When the Most High overshadowed her in impregnating her with that word called Jesus that she then wrapped in her willing flesh, he also gave her that perfect peace. He gave her peace that nobody could take away from her. Even though she knew that she now stood a chance of being stoned, that her husband, her espoused husband or her engaged to husband, Joseph, could stone her or put her away, she didn't think about any of those things. Why? Because that peace that had overshadowed her now kept her. And it focused her. It made her intentional in the things that she did, even though she didn't have a whole lot of understanding about them. God knows that. He knows that we're only given part of the picture in anything, because it's his eyes that see all, right? He feeds us on a need to know basis, but he gives us enough trust. If we choose to trust him, if we choose to go on what we know of him, that keeps our hearts and our minds as we keep them intentionally stayed on him and stayed on his way. And that was how he was able to keep her going and to keep, and then the same way with Joseph. Appearing to Joseph in a dream, even though he was going through all kinds of changes, because everybody was talking about this Mary's pregnant. How could she be pregnant? And we haven't even slept together yet. You know, put her away from you or have her stoned. He had all of these voices speaking into his spirit, but God spoke in a dream. That was how he dealt with Joseph. See, the angel appeared to Mary, but with Joseph, he spoke to him through dreams. That's how he dealt with him. God deals with us all differently.
Well, you said in the teaching, you just said again, that we are on a need-to-know basis. What does that mean? When we hear that today, I think of when I was a mother of a small child, and we were going somewhere. I would only tell her what she needed to know to get her in the car. She didn't need to know the whole trip and where we were going and all the details of it. But sometimes it's hard to relate that to spiritually walking with God. Give us a better understanding of what it means as a believer, knowing that we are on a need-to-know basis.
Well, God doesn't always tell us everything ahead of time because he knows of our flesh. He knows the resistance that we'll have in the flesh and the fears that we might have. Or he knows of the environment that we grow up in or the people that are with us and the influence that they can be. So if we know too much, we begin to second guess. It's just like leaning to our own understanding. Or you might have that type of intellect that I sometimes have. You know, well, if 1 and 1 are 2, then 3 and 7 must equal, you know, and take away the 4 and multiply that, then I get this, right? No, that's not what I'm saying. Many times when I'm doing these studies, you know, my intellect fights with the spirit, because revelation is not always what you find in other people's teachings or in commentaries or whatever. And so it conflicts, and God will only give you enough to keep you on that course. Because if I get too much information, then I go off according to my intellect and I'm way over here on the left side of the field, or as my son says, going down rabbit hole and off course from what God has. So he feeds you just enough, knowing that way we have to acknowledge him in all our ways so that he can direct our path. If I knew everything ahead of time, then I wouldn't need that ordered path, right? So that's what he does.
I like that explanation, that he gives us enough to keep us going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Because when you know that, it takes away some of the doubt or the fear of not knowing, mm-hmm. because you know that, okay, what I know is enough for me to do what I need to do right now. Mm-hmm. And another concept you talked about in the teaching is about being fully present. Mm-hmm. Now, I do social media, and I see buzzwords that arrive in a season. And present, was like a buzzword in 2016, where you'd see it on a lot of people's book titles, in different people's teachings. It was like, you have to be present. What in God does it mean for us to be fully present?
That's part of the definition of being decisively dedicated. You know, you have to be fully present. You have to be in agreement. You can't be off trying to figure out how God, I mean, that for Abraham, that's how Abraham got in trouble in the first place, trying to help God make a word come to pass because he felt like his flesh was too old to have a child. So he took Sarah's maid, Hagar, and slept with her and had Ishmael, right? So that way he felt like he was walking in fully present with what God had called him to do. And now he had a son and he could decisively dedicate himself to rearing this son to be that seed that God had promised. God was like, that's not the seed that I meant. You need to send him away. You need to exile him because I'm giving you Ishmael. And I'm giving you Ishmael through Sarah, like I said, this time next year, you shall have that Isaac.
Okay.
And so in order to pull us back from our own understanding and making these foolish choices and calling ourselves, denying ourselves, you know, like, I know Hagar is not you, Sarah, but, you know, to make you feel better, I'm going to go lay with her and see if we can't have a child. You know, you're really not denying yourself. You're giving in to the needs of flesh to be a part of, to feel like it's doing. God doesn't want our flesh there. He wants our spirit there, our willingness there, our trust there, our peace there in relying on him.
I think that ties into when you were talking about Paul in the teaching. You talked about how he told the people, you need to go do this.
Yes.
Because I need to tarry here.
Mm-hmm.
And that he had already decided he was going to be fully present in what he was being assigned to do.
Right.
And it had to do with the assignment.
Right.
I really think that a lot of times the word assignment is maybe based on what we've experienced in life. But a spiritual assignment such as Paul had there.
Mm-hmm.
God was prospering what Paul was doing,
mm-hmm.
even though in the teaching, many I think adversaries. You say that people are calling him saying, we long to see you.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we as believers been in situations where we are where God has told us to be, but there's this pull.
Mm-hmm.
And if we aren't decisively dedicated to what God has, or as you just said, willingly being present, we can be pulled off course.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul in this teaching gives us an excellent demonstration of what he said to the people and said, y'all need to go do this because I am staying here until I am released.
Mm-hmm. Because he had decisively dedicated himself to it. In other words, he knew God had opened a great door for him right there in Ephesus. And I mean, it was an awesome teaching, an awesome move of God that was going on there. But he also knew that there were many adversaries. So that's part of the being intelligently present. You know what I mean? I've counted the cost. I see the great door, but I also see the adversaries, yet I'm still willing to stay right here and sacrifice because I know it's you that opened this door. You want me here. You want me to bring home this ministry that's here. You want me to glorify you in the midst of the darkness of these Ephesians. You know, Elizabeth, who was John's mother, was impregnated by her husband Zacharias, but she didn't know why she was impregnated because she was old. She was way past the time of having children. And yet and still, her husband comes home one night and she finds herself pregnant and he can't tell her what's going on, even though it's a spiritual thing. Why? Because he didn't come home intentional about what they were going to do. He was still caught up on the fact that with him and her, they were too old to do what it is that the angel had told him was going to happen. So not being in agreement with the word, he had been struck dumb. And this left her at a disadvantage. She didn't know why she was pregnant. The word says she hid herself for 5 months, feeling reproached. Wouldn't that be an awful thing to know that God has done this supernatural thing in your life and you don't know why? So if you don't know why, you can't walk in it intentionally. You can't decisively dedicate yourself to caring for this child and making sure that you keep him healthy or make sure you keep him protected. So what does God do? He does as we need him to do. God sees and God provides, right? So in sending the angel Gabriel to Mary and telling her that she was going to have this supernatural experience of being impregnated by God's word, he also tells her after she says, "Be it unto me according to your word," he says, "Oh, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, she's pregnant too." And immediately she gets up and she goes straight to Elizabeth. Because she had come into agreement with God's word, you can become intentional about things you don't even understand. You can become decisive about things that you don't understand. You can become that sign, that beacon, that shoe that God needs to get you up off your mark so you can now come into agreement with what God wants to do. Because John would be an integral part of Jesus going forth, right? Because he was supposed to be the one that would go and make straight the way for Jesus. Well, if he wasn't brought up in the right circumstances, it couldn't happen. So God sends Mary, and as soon as she got there and walked into the house, the word says she saluted Elizabeth, and as soon as she heard the voice of Mary, being in agreement with what God says, the child in her belly leaped by the Holy Ghost. She was filled at that moment. That's all it takes, is the agreement of two spirits that have heard God. And then when I realize, oh my God, it's happened to you too, then we, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. And she began to prophesy about the child that Mary was carrying. And in the same time, she was able to then come into that decisive dedication of knowing, I'm carrying the child that's going to make straight that way for him.
Well, as we come to a close in the fireside chat, I'd like to have us talk a little bit about the people today that maybe are facing a decision, thinking they're hearing from God to be that decisive dedication in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when I first began to hear from the Lord, and I knew I was hearing from the Lord, and he would ask me to do something, and sometimes they were very small things to me, but I don't know where that rippled out and what it affected other people. But I remember one of the very first things was that I had been given a check for something that I did, and I'm in church, and the church is talking about needing a piano. And I hadn't got time to go to the bank and deposit that check. And I'm sitting there, and the Lord said, I want you to give that check to buying the piano. Now, I knew how much the check was for. I didn't have to look at it. I'm going, you want me to give X amount to buy a piano?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, at that moment, the whole world stood still. And I didn't really hear what was going on until the person that was taking the offering said, and the piano costs, and it was the exact amount of the check I had in my purse. I was like, okay, I need to do this. And I bring that to light because once, even as you said, once it was verified by God,
mm-hmm,
that yes, this is me,
mm-hmm,
I'm like, okay, come on, let's take this offering because I want to get this check out of my purse.
Mm-hmm.
For people that are hearing from God and they are saying, I believe this is what you want me to do, God, and I want to dedicate myself to it, what would you like to leave them with to let them know how to proceed when it's not like this was plain and clear? I knew because the amounts matched and all that. Sometimes it's not that clear. How would you counsel people that are listening to this today to be able to know how to do that decisive dedication when you're just not quite sure?
Well, it's all a matter, it's a process. It's all a process. I mean, it depends on your heart, you know, whether you have that heart that's towards God, you know, or whether you're still a person that's still inquiring, is there really a God or not? Because, you know, we get to different points where we just say, you know what, I'm going to trust that this is God. You know, like Balaam, who was a seer back in the old days in when Israel was out there wandering the wilderness, right? He needed, you know, God spoke to him, but he didn't receive that as being so, not going to Balak until the ass stopped him in the way and spoke. So God will speak through whatever he needs to speak through to get to you. You know, he knows who we need or what we need or what we will hear. And he can cause anything. A little child can speak to you. A television show can speak to you. You know, he's not limited to what he can speak to us through. It could be out in the street and a stranger just walks up and says, I need to give you this check. Or I have this property that I want to give you. And you know that God was telling you that you were going to have a ministry doing such and such, but you had no way of getting such and such a property. And here comes a complete stranger who doesn't know why he's giving it to you. All he knows is he heard. Because God is bigger than us. God sees and he knows, and he just works all these things together for his good. For our good, but according to what he has purposed. There is an expected end for all of us. But God uses people, and he uses situations and circumstances and events. He uses all kinds of things to manifest himself, to magnify himself, so that we can see he who is invisible. I can see him through what you say. I can see him through what he does. I can see him through his provision. I can see him through his peace that he gives me that passes all understanding. I can't even figure out how in the world I've got peace about something I used to be anxious about before. But it's his peace, because once I get his peace, I can't lose it. You can't take it. You understand? Because it's not as the world gives that he gives it. It's not conditional. It's not temporary. It's not fickle. You know, we lose our peace quickly in this world, but not with God's word, because he'll use whatever he has to speak to us so that we know, oh my God, this is truth. This is real. This is power.
Dr. Akins, I love the fact that when you speak in terms of the biblical stories and characters. Mm-hmm. They're so real to you. They're like your next door neighbors.
Yes. But my family.
Exactly. But for a lot of the listeners and myself, I don't always have the ability to equate a biblical story to a life applicable action on my part. Mm-hmm. So, but because I've been blessed to be able to be around your teaching, what I heard in that you said is, it all comes down to a couple things. One is, God wants to speak to us more than we want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
God will make sure that he puts whatever in front of us we need. So all we have to do is, as we've heard today, is be willing. And the peace. When you spoke at the end of what you answered was, you'll have peace.
Mm-hmm.
Peace is such a powerful arrow direction from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you said, the world can't give you that kind of peace.
Nope.
The only way we get that peace is from God. So when we are in that situation, we're going, I think this is what you want me to do, God. Do I have peace?
Yeah.
Because out of that peace comes the direction, the next step. And I, as you said, God's not going to lay out a 12-point plan.
Mm-mm.
I'm a planner by nature. So, you know, I'm out with my calendar 12 months at a time going, okay, what do you want me to do, God?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get the next thing, the next step,
mm-hmm.
because that's as far as my peace lets me take the journey. But as you illustrated through all of your teachings, is that God wants us to hear him. And he knows best how to speak to us.
Right.
And all we need to do is being that willing participant and intentional in listening to him. So as we close today, I just want to encourage those that are listening. If you have never really heard about being decisively dedicated, it's not a scary thing. It's an opportunity for us to grow in God and in our calling or in our assignment that we have. But remember, peace is your direction. Follow your peace, because the peace will not lead you astray. It'll only lead you to that next encounter with God, that next person he has placed, just like he did with Mary and Joseph and Paul. He will lead you to that next divine encounter. Have just that little bit of faith that the peace that resides in you from him will be your guide and will take you, and you will not fail. So be encouraged today. Dr. Akins, thank you for joining us.
Bless you.
It is always an enlightening experience to hear you teach and to hear you share about the biblical characters that have become over how many years of teaching? 40 years of teaching, your best friends. And I just thank you all for joining us. And until we sit together again, I just pray that you will be encouraged and strengthened, and that the peace of God will guide you to your next step of being decisively dedicated. Thank you.
Well, this concludes today's edition of Fireside Chats. For more information or to contact us, log on to www.fireborninspirations.com or follow us at Fireborn Inspirations on Instagram. Until next time, be encouraged and inspired to keep pressing your way through the fires of life with a greater understanding and with purpose. This segment has been produced by Creative Impact LLC with all rights reserved.